Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Monday, May 16th. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 4 of Bill's story. We're on the first paragraph, which begins abruptly in October 1929, reading and commenting on one paragraph only, ending with, "The fierce determination to win came back." Today's readers are Rhonda R. for the 12 Steps, Juanis N. for the 12 Traditions, Kara L., and Shelley E. The reference number for yesterday's Sunday special edition is 18962. That's 18,962. And I gave you the wrong number. That was 61. Make that, please. The reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting recording is 18962, and that's 18,962. So the OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read those 12 steps.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Rhonda R., recovered and grateful in Georgia. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. And I'll now ask Juanis N. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everybody. This is Juanis N. from Southern California, recovered compulsive overeater, and this is the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, too, Juanita. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We share what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Using the star 1 function on your phone, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in Bill's story, and we are on page 4, reading the first paragraph. And I am going to ask Kara L. to please begin reading for us.
Good morning. Thank you, Elaine. This is Kara L. Thank you for everybody doing service on the meeting today. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Abruptly, in October 1929, hell broke loose on the New York Stock Exchange. After one of those days of inferno, I wobbled from a hotel bar to brokerage office. It was 8 o'clock, 5 hours after the market closed. The ticker still clattered. I was staring at an inch of tape which bore the inscription XYZ-32. It had been 52 that morning. I was finished, and so were many friends. The papers reported men jumping to death from high towers of finance. This disgusted me. I would not jump. I went back to the bar. My friends had dropped several million since 10 o'clock. So what? Tomorrow would be another day. As I drank, that old, fierce determination to win came back. Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. I love, we're the identity in Bill's story. with every paragraph that we've been reading, and we've been reading, the progression of Bill's disease. And here we see more of the progression of Bill's disease. I see here, where can I identify in? Well, how many times have I decided that, something went wrong. All right, whatever. I'm just going to go eat. I will deal with it tomorrow. I'll just go numb out, and then tomorrow I can handle it. My self-reliance, the self that tells me that tomorrow's a new day, and I will be stronger and better, and whatever my failings today, tomorrow they won't be there. Here's Billy. He's like, he's disgusted with the guys that are jumping, but he's going to go back. He's not going to jump yet. He's not going to kill himself yet, but he's going to go back to the bar. And he'll let alcohol kill him a little bit more, And I can't tell you how many times, I just was like, oh, well, I can't think about that. I'm not going to deal with that. I'm just going to sit here and eat until I can't think anymore. And that fierce determination happened every single day after I compulsively ate. Until I was demoralized every single night and I woke up every single morning with that determination again, only to have it leave me as I compulsively ate throughout the day. And it was a cycle over and over that I repeated. What got me out of that cycle? I couldn't diet anymore. Things were falling apart around me. I would wake up and I just couldn't do it anymore. And thankfully, the seed of Overeaters Anonymous had been planted. And thankfully, my life got to so unmanageable that I was able to walk through the doors of where I now call home, Overeaters Anonymous. And I'm thankful for every moment I struggled because I became ready to accept help from a higher power. I became ready to work these steps. I became ready to realize that fierce determination didn't get me anywhere. What got me places was vulnerability. What got me places was saying, I don't know how to do this and I need help. What got me places was just being open to the possibility that I didn't have the answers and that something greater than me did. And I'm really thankful today because today, when things go wrong, I have these steps. I get to work in inventory. I get to dive into this book with other fellows. I get to make outreach calls. I get to get to my higher power and say, I need help. I don't know what to do here. And I'm ever so grateful for that. I'm really looking forward to hearing from everybody today on this paragraph. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Kara Al. We value everybody's experience, but we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have the chance to share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last few meetings, then we ask that you would press star one to unmute if you'd like to share. It's your name and your first initial of your last name.
Helen C. from Northern California.
I heard Helen C. from California.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Lisa N. from Wisconsin.
Lisa N. Anyone else want to get in this lineup?
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Robin P. Okay. We'll start with Helen C., Kathleen O., Lisa N., and Robin P.
Elaine G.
And Elaine G. Thanks, Elaine. Okay, Helen C., please share with us. And if you're not Helen C., please press star 1 to mute your phone. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Helen C., and I'm a compulsive eater in Northern California. And yes, boy, do I relate to this this paragraph. And for all my life, I was never conscious that I was drugging myself with food because I couldn't deal with the realities of my life. I just did it. It was just automatic that I ate. And when I came into OA 7 years ago, I really understood that this was just this habitual, constant compulsion to eat. And I got to really realize that when I didn't go eat, because the thought came to me all the time, I want to eat, I want to eat, I want to eat. And I relate, I mean, nothing huge has to happen. I would not have to lose $1 million in stock for me to go eat. It's not a situation. It's just a collective inability for me to be present in the moment and to live my life and be in my life. And I'm on step 2 with my sponsor and it's perfect. We're moving into step 3. I'm coming back from relapse and I'm really, really, really seeing that whenever I don't eat, it has nothing to do with me. Last night, I wanted to binge. I was even ordering the food online, and I didn't, and that's a miracle, and it had nothing to do with Helen. It had everything to do with my higher power, and I woke up this morning, and I got on my knees, which I've been doing for about 10 days in a row, and I thanked God for that, And my prayer these days is just to have God show me how to let go and get out of the way and let him take the steering wheel. Because I still try to manage my life, my food, everything. And it's a catastrophe. One little thing at a time, it just adds up to pain and suffering for me. I'm an addict. I'm a hardcore food addict, among other things. And I'm just grateful to have found this meeting. And I love that we go through the big book just one little bite at a time. No pun intended. Thank you.
No pun intended. Thank you very much, Helen C. Kathleen O., you're up next, followed by Lisa N. Please share with us, Kathleen.
Good morning, Elaine. Thanks for your service today. This is Kathleen O., recovered in California. Abruptly, in October 29, hell broke loose. Gosh, you know, almost 100 years later, and one could certainly argue hell is still breaking loose in our world on a regular basis. You know, Bill sees men jumping to their death, but he isn't going to do that. No, instead, he heads to the bar. He chooses a slower death. And this part of Bill's life, it's so ego-centered and not God-centered. He gets there, but these are perfect examples. You know, the inability to see the reality of his addiction. And I had all of Bill's problems with ego and not facing the reality of my addiction. I hid myself in large clothes so I wouldn't need to see what was happening. And, you know, self will run riot. We see the progression of the disease in Bill's story, the progression that destroys everything in its path. And when we're in the disease, we're unable to see the progression of the disease. So when life gets chaotic and things don't go my way, the ticket to keeping my happiness, joy, and freedom is to remember that I have an allergy of the body when it comes to ingesting my binge foods. You know, an allergy is an abnormal reaction that once I put those foods in my system, something happens bodily and mentally, which makes it impossible for me to stop. And that mental twist will always take me back to the food, take me back to hell. So abstinence is freedom, and it feels amazing. You know, I'm no longer fighting the food. I'm no longer fighting anyone or anything. And no one waved a magic wand over my head to make this happen. It takes work, but as long as I live in the steps, it's pretty easy. You know, I know daily that I must have a connection to my higher power, be on these meetings, connect with all of you. And thank you, everyone, for being on this line. I absolutely love hearing your voices and your shares. You know, this is such a strong and amazing meeting, and it helps me not to forget to do the work. So I get on here every day of the week that I can. And the little things that used to make me eat don't anymore. And the reason is doing a 10th step when I have a resentment, when I experience selfishness, dishonesty, or fear. And yesterday, someone didn't follow my script. And I always know I need to immediately do a 10th step when it starts to fill up too much headspace. So doing a 10th step, it doesn't take very long. And it allowed me to just send love to this person and move on with my day. And my head was no longer filled up with this person not following my script. You know, tomorrow will be another day. I always think of Gone with the Wind when I read this line. Tomorrow was another day when it came to my eating. All that thinking, you know, tomorrow I'll do it. Tomorrow I'll do it. I'll go on a diet tomorrow. I won't eat tomorrow. And all that thinking did was keep me fat and miserable. So I'm so grateful to be recovered today and living in steps 10, 11, 12, no longer fighting anyone or anything, especially the food. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. Lisa M., you're up next, followed by Robin P.
Hi, Elaine. Thank you for your service this morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you sound great, Lisa. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for the great shares already, too. You know, what I just think of myself so much. I can relate so much to Bill. Poor Bill. Poor Lisa. We can see almost too clearly what you're doing wrong. But for us, we don't see it at all. It's that mental blank spot. It's that, you know, I forgot how awful I felt after I ate. It just is a mental blank spot for sure. And so like the guys jumping off the buildings, Bill could see that and say, that is wrong. That is terrible. and I'm not doing anything like that. I would never do anything like that. But then he would go to the bar and he would drink to oblivion. And, you know, then everything he gets his hands on, or he's drinking, and he doesn't want to do it, but he doesn't realize he doesn't want to do it until it's too late. And that's how I was. Like, when I was in the moment of eating whatever it was that I had a fixation about, there was nothing going to stop me. And then all of a sudden, when I'm halfway through it even, I'm like, oh my gosh, here comes the remorse. Well, I have to ignore it until it's gone. I have to finish this. And then the remorse was that much more intense. But, and it also makes me think of how I used to hang in there from Monday and through Friday, and then Friday became Thursday, and it was never going to stop. It was only going to get worse, and I'm just so grateful for this program. And I am actually working with a nutritionist for the first time in my program. I've been in the program for 12 years, and I've released a lot of weight. And I'm grateful for that, very grateful. And I don't think about food in between meals or anything like that, but I wasn't eating enough. So I was hungry after meals, and I was eating more vegetables, and I would have a cup of broth because I knew I wasn't supposed to eat my binge foods. And I thought those other things were free. There's nothing free. I must weigh and measure. I must stick to the plan. And then I can work the steps sanely and soberly. So thank you so much, Matt. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lisa Ann. Robin P., you're up next, followed by Elaine G.
Hi, thanks so much. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater and recovered bulimic in Costa Rica. And thanks so much for your service, Elaine. I always love hearing your voice. Oh, my gosh. And everyone else who makes this meeting possible. You know, I did slow suicide for a long time and judged everyone else who was doing whatever they were doing. You know, like, well, I'm not doing that. And then I would be isolated with the food, you know, binging and purging all day and all night, you know. And really just having two problems instead of one. Because whenever the one problem came up, then I would have two when I picked up the food. And now today, I actually get to grow through things. And I always say, grow up or grow out. And I get to grow up today, you know, and grow spiritually through things. I never grew spiritually because I just numbed through it. And now I get to lean on God instead of my own understanding, which really did not ever work. You know, that figuring things out, I'm just going to figure it out. To me, that's the disease. And surrender is recovery. And I'm so grateful today. You know, we're going through some mold. It's the rainy season here in Costa Rica. And we learned a lesson. We rented a place that doesn't have AC. And we're between a beautiful river and a beautiful waterfall. And we're facing the ocean. And we are just, it's so wet here. And mold is something I've been through before, and it's not good for my health or anyone else's. So we have to make a change, and we've just been reaching out to our friends, and we've been inundated with love and support, and check out this, check out that. And it's so different than when I was in the food and I was so isolated trying to figure things out on my own and just numbing until the next thing that I had to figure out on my own. And this is just like really practicing receiving God's grace and help and mercy through his people. That's what it feels like. So God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinence day. Thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Elaine G. is up next. And after Elaine's share, we'll take more people who'd like to comment on Bill's story. Page 4, the first paragraph, starts with abruptly in October and ends with determination to win to come back. So Elaine G., please share with us.
Yeah, hi everybody. This is Elaine G. from New York. I'm happy to be on the phone. I look forward every day to a vision for you. Really, I can't miss it. But now that I don't have my AIDS, I can make it every day. Because I'm doing better. Because I had a knee replacement. But anyway, having to do with the Bill story where the stock market went to its low and people were jumping to their deaths, and he said he's going to just go back to the bar. I mean, my family made me think that my father was a rageaholic, and he gets so angry, he'd be in a rampage, that all of us would get very scared. We'd run in the bathroom, this, that. So it affected me where I decided to compulsively eat and go out in my car, get my candy. That was the way way I dealt with it, you know, dealt with it. My father's, you know, like his rachefulness. And same thing with my marriage. My husband was abusive, verbally, physically, and emotionally, and sexually. And also, I ate compulsively because I said to myself, if I don't have anything else, at least I got the food. And then that'll help me deal with things. And talking about that, I had a question that my sponsor had asked me about having to do with having to do with compulsive eating. You know, denial leads to destruction. You know, but anyway, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Elaine G. Thank you for your honest share. Okay. Okay. So now we're ready to take another lineup, and though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have an opportunity to share their experience as well. So if you'd like to comment on page 4, paragraph 1, let me know.
NWH.
Joanne B.
Maria M.
Okay, I heard Joanne, and that's, I'm sorry, I heard MWH and Joanne, and that's all I heard. Joanne T.
D-I-R.
D-I-R.
And it was
Maria
Ken.
Maria.
U-H.
Oh,
Maria
Ken.
M.
Ken W-H. Maria M.
Joanne T.
Joanne P.
Lauren Grace B.
Jennifer H.
Lauren Grace and Jennifer H. Possibly room for one more? Okay, let's go with this then. We've got Ken W.H., Joanne P., Dion R., Maria M., Lauren M., Jennifer H. And was someone adding their name to that lineup? Okay, good. That may be a full slate here. Okay. Ken W.H., please share with us.
Elaine.
Followed by Joanne P. Yes?
Elaine.
Yes.
It's Joanne B. You have two Joannes.
Oh, Joanne B. and Joanne P. Okay, Joanne.
Yes, ma'am.
Which one are you? You're Joanne B. Right?
I was the first one. Yes, Joanne B.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I've got that now. And so you're both on the list now. And we're starting with Ken W.H. Thanks for letting me know, Joanne.
This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina, and just really struck by Bill's way of putting things in making a paragraph dense with ideas. The stock market crashed. He was finished. He said in the middle of the paragraph, I was finished as well as many others. But interesting, at the very end of the paragraph, he says, after I was finished, the old fierce determination to win came back. So he wasn't finished. That was Bill. Bill was a power driver, and this is just a real example of the power of self-will. No, I'm not going to jump off a building, but I'm going to jump in a bar. And still, I'm going to come out of that bar probably really toasted, and he's going to make a decision that he's going to go on. it's no question that the power of self-will is at work in it. And it just points to me, to that whole thing about delusional thinking, where I'm going to do it this time. So with food, I'm going to do it this time. I can handle this. I don't need help. Thank you very much. And it's that delusional thinking that needs to be smashed. That's what the book tells me. And I think back to Coney Island or the carnivals where they have that thing where you hit the sledgehammer on the pad and make the weight go up and ring the bell. And I can just see myself picking up a little ball-peen hammer, a real small hammer, and trying to do it, because that's as much energy as I had to try to smash this delusional thinking. I really wanted to hang on to it. It took a lot of help. It took somebody else, actually, to pick up that sledgehammer and make that bell ring, and it happens to be the God of my understanding that smashed that delusional thinking that I could do this myself. So thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you very much, Ken W.H. Okay, Joanne B., you're up next, followed by Dion R.
Hello, this is Joanne B. from Texas, recovered today by the grace of God. And one of the reasons that I'm stepping in, I guess, I hear on our special editions, those precious meetings, and I hear in this room, we need to claim our seat, or we need to, be part in the middle of the tribe, the herd. And as I'm listening today and hearing Bill and hearing, reading his words of that he's finished, but he's not. And I hear the words in the room of what's already been said. I think about how also I'm finished and then I'm not. And how easily I could go back to that same place that I was when I would swear I would never eat again. I would have that resolve at nighttime. And then the morning I would get up and maybe I would have a good breakfast, but it wouldn't last long. And then all of a sudden I would be back in the food, back banging my fist on the table. And then I can't do this. And then at bedtime, what would I say? I'll do it tomorrow. And I wouldn't even know really what was going on. I mean, honestly, when I was blessed with desperation, I finally knew there was a problem, but it was really kind of funny. Now it is funny to see, because I didn't realize those things that I did. I was so blinded. And the things that I did with the food, I just didn't see it until that last day. And I knew I needed help. And I remember not knowing what to do. And I remembered someone commenting years ago about OA, and I looked you up, and I found an OA meeting in the evening, and someone directed me to our vision meeting. And what a blessing, what a blessing. And today, if I'm not in the tribe, that's what I'm realizing now. If I'm not in the tribe, in the herd, saying, hey, I'm here, you guys, I'm here, even though I'm on a phone meeting. You know, if I'm not doing the things, taking my medicine, if you will, doing those things I need to do and staying in contact with all of you, I'm going to be back out before I even know it. And I love this group. I love the groups that come that are off of this group, not off of it, I guess, but with the same people, you know. And I'm so grateful for the pandemic because of all the Zoom meetings that have come in.
Reminder.
I'm just very, thank you. I'm just so grateful for all of you and for my recovery. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Joanne B. Dion R., you're up next, followed by Joanne T.
Hi, Elaine. This is, and everyone on the line, this is Dion R. from Ohio, and thank you for allowing me to share. and all the beautiful poetic spirits. I really can identify with the carnival incident, and even as a girl trying to hit the bell, and then my father comes along and hit it like it was nothing. All of us kids, we're like, we try. We used to hit as hard as you can. We couldn't do it. He got popped and it's up. You know what I mean? It's like, that's how God is. It's like, I can keep trying to do the same old thing or surrender. Let him do it. You know, I think, and I know now, I didn't know then, but when I take the one step, he takes more, my higher power. And I thought it was just my brain power. That's all I had to do is think about how this doesn't make sense to eat this, and I keep going back to that. So, and I'm still committing suicide, right? When I'm in the food, as Bill was doing. As they say, the guys were jumping off fast, but he said, oh, I'll go back to the bar. I'll kill myself slowly, right? And that's how I was with the food. It was like, I can't do it. Family, they can lose weight and be okay with it. And I said, look at me. I'm still backing. What is wrong with me, you know? So, but the key was for me, and it still is, as the surrender to a power greater than mine, me, myself, my thinking, you know, my doing. And it was first Overeaters Anonymous, and Overeaters Anonymous opened a path for me to hear clearly from my higher power, who can just hit it real quick. You know, he can do what he can do, and I can say, oh, okay. So my thing is to, I love what someone said, it's like showing up, standing in the middle, all that, because that keeps me going, and I can get through anything. I can't figure it out. There's a fellow I could talk to or two, you know, a herd of people, or in the direct connection with my God, that's awesome. I didn't have that at first. So to have a direct connection with the higher power, and which, of course, Bill eventually gets, but at that time, I was like, ah, that doesn't make sense. Been there, done that, and don't want to go there again. And with that, I'll share and thank you all for being on the line. Allow me to share as well. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Dion R. You too. Okay, Joanne P., you're up next, followed by Maria M.
Hi, I'm Joanne P. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you so much, and good morning to everyone. Thank you for all your shares and your service, and I'm just so grateful to be here, and by the grace of God and my sponsor, I'm sharing today for the first time. I've been listening to Visions for probably 20 months now, and doing the steps again on step 4 and 5 after a relapse, and identifying with Bill. When I read this paragraph, I think, okay, so the stock market crashed and he went to drinking. In my life, when anything happened, it was like the stock market was crashing to me, you know, and food was my drug of choice. Food was my solution. Food was my comfort, whatever it was. So I am so thankful today to be living in the solution. So thankful for our program and 12 steps and, yeah. I'm so thankful to be living in the solution and not in the food. And thank you again for your shares today and for all your service. Have a wonderful day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne T. Welcome, and thank you so much for your first share today. Okay, Maria M., followed by Lauren N. Please share with us, Maria.
Good morning, everyone. This is Maria M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater outside of Philadelphia. I'm so grateful to be here with you all. Thank you, moderator, for your service this morning. My disease knocked my fierce determination to its knees, and it took decades. It took decades, decades and decades. I needed every bit of that knocked out of me, and I remember this last time in recovery where when I finally had the blessed gift of recovery, my sponsor started by telling me there are going to be two deaths in this recovery. One is going to be the death of food, And then the second is going to be the death of ego. And she was right. I nodded my head because at that point, my fierce determination had turned into crippling uncertainty and crippling anxiety. I couldn't make the smallest decision because I was so broken by the food. And today, if my life is not like that, and I'm so grateful that the steps were made in such a way that we keep doing them, because my ego still pops up, right? My ego still pops up. I can handle this. I can do this. Oh, I've had this success. And thankfully, I'm learning day by day to give more of the credit to God and give more of what challenges me to God at the same time. And then I can stay, as someone said, in the middle. So thank you all so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Maria M. Enjoyed your symphony of birds in the background, too. It's just lovely. Okay. Lauren, I hope I got this right, Lauren M., followed by Jennifer P.
I'm Lauren Grace B. Is that who?
That's
you?
It, Lauren Grace.
Okay.
B. I'm so sorry. I write so fast I can't read my own stuff
that's,
here.
That's
Thank
okay.
Please
Hi everyone. I'm Lauren Grace B. From New Jersey. So grateful to be on the line today, and so grateful for everybody's shares and for the people who are running the meeting. Thank you so much. I don't have a very long share, but I wanted to identify in and say, yes, I am like Bill, watching other people, judging other people, and slowly killing myself. And it reminded me of the progressive nature of this disease, because later on he has to bring his mattress down to the ground floor because he's afraid he's going to jump out the window. So the same thing he saw other people doing and was judging them for was where he ended up because of the progressive nature of the disease. And my history with compulsive overeating, I had a high bottom. I was always functioning. I was never severely overweight. It was a high bottom. So it's a little harder for me to keep that perspective, you know, that just because I haven't been the places where other people have been, it's just yet. If I choose to step away from the program, step away from my abstinence and my recovery, I could easily end up like those who have had more physical difficulties and trouble than me. And I also have to be sure I'm not minimizing my insanity. You know, I have the same disease. I have the same insanity, and I need to be aware of that, and I need to be careful. Sometimes I think I need to be even more careful because I can't look back on the physical misery this disease caused me. Certainly it caused my family and me and others, you know, spiritual and emotional heartache, but I need to keep that fresh and green, and I appreciate the honest sharing on this meeting and others that helps me to do so. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lauren Grace B. And Jennifer H., you are up next. Please share with us.
Hi, this is Jennifer H., recovered compulsive overeater in North Alabama. And this reading is really jam-packed. It made me think about when Bill said, you know, he's disgusted and he wouldn't jump, and then he was gonna fight. And, you know, how that... y'all are saying that does, you know, really describe that self-will. And I was thinking about how I had a family member, you know, who went into treatment for eating disorders and everything. And the grandmother was saying, she was out of treatment, and then she was going to go on a trip where she, you know, the food would be in someone else's hands and stuff. And she's just got to fight. She's got to fight. And I remember looking at her and just thinking inside, what I've got to do actually is surrender. I actually got to surrender. And I don't remember if I said it out loud or not, that actually what I have to do is surrender. But I remember, you know, at least knowing that I'm so grateful that you guys showed me that, because it was so counterintuitive. And, you know, I was thinking about this speaker I heard, who was an AA speaker, and he said that he heard a psychologist who worked with alcoholics say that alcoholics rarely have a psychotic break, rarely have that nervous breakdown and jump, because when things look bleak, they take a drink and change their perception of reality. So and then they can keep going. And I was thinking that's what I did. I would just, when I didn't like how things were going, I would just go to eat, and I would change my perception of what was going on. And then I would keep going. But the problem was I wasn't seeing reality. And you guys gave me a list for my fourth step, and one of them was not accepting or seeing reality. And, you know, and that self-will in that got me into, like, you know, everything that happened, two divorces and all the other, you know, stuff in my life. So I'm really grateful today to know that with you guys, with the tools, and with my higher power, when something seems like something I can't face, you know, I can, you know, pick up the tools and do these things. And then the pain is really fairly short, where I will just have genuine pain and tell God about it. And then I've gone through it instead of around it, and I can keep on going, you know. And I never had any ability to face reality like that before. And I really appreciate you guys talking about stop doing it myself and ask for help. And that really helped me this yesterday when I got, I know that at least I can recognize that feeling in my spirit when I'm in self-will, and I can go and ask somebody for help and then just do that work. And I think, well, I don't have time for that, but it ends up taking a lot less time that way. So I'm grateful to you guys for being here, and I'll pass.
Thank you very, very much, Jennifer H. Okay, anybody got a burning desire for about a two-minute share, minute and a half? We'd love to hear from you. Star one to unmute.
Juliana F.
Take it. Hi, take it. Juliana's got it. Sorry about that. Please share with us, Juliana.
Hi. Thank you so much for everyone's share and for being on the line. I had a thought about the reading that I'll share very quickly. Sorry, I just ran up the stairs. You know, I was always told that my character defects were like, sometimes they were, I don't know. When I hear that story, I think, wow, Bill's disease kept him from jumping off a building. And so there's some, my disease kept me from, you know, maybe not figuratively or literally jumping off a building. When I was younger and it was formulating itself as the way I coped with anything. So, you know, now that I'm relying on higher power and God to be my source and my strength, I have to let go of those other coping mechanisms, be they dishonesty or eating. You know, like all my character defects are kind of one on top of the other. They may have helped me in the past, but they have gotten completely out of control, and they are, you know, they run me unless I work this program. So on some level, it's like, okay, well, I'm grateful they got me out of that jam, but Jesus Christ, they're driving me into an early grave, and higher power is trying to get my, you know, get my attention here. And I'm just very grateful. I think I've shared before, I don't know how many times I was suggested to me to go to OA, but the community here put up a billboard literally outside my house, not on purpose, knowing I was there, but it was like I had to drive past it every day. And so I'm just super grateful that, like, you know, the outreach that gets done and hearing that God was on a search and rescue mission for me so that I could start relying on him instead of my own self-will and self-will run riot. Thank you. It's just nice to remember that miracle, you know. Anyone who's here has been invited, you know what I mean? It's like God showed me my way here. So I'm very grateful, and thanks a lot for letting me share. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Juliana, and thank you, everybody that has shared. We'll now close by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Shelley E., will you please read a vision for you for us?
You bet. Hi, good morning, guys. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. Page 164 of the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation, which you can do each day, for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others.
This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.